You're listening to Trending with Timmery, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics. National speaker Timmery Millington has been a passionate advocate for life as long as she can remember, helping Gen X through Z answer the call to true feminism and authentic manhood. Timmery holds a master's degree in biblical theology, and she covers this week's hottest stories from a Catholic worldview. You're listening to Trending with Timmery.
Hello there. Dr. Philip Chavez is in studio with us. It's wonderful to have you again with us.
Good to be back. Good to be back, Timmery.
You have been on out off-roading. You have been in Rome leading tours. You were there during the Amazon Synod.
Right.
You are back with us now for Trending. For those who do not know Dr. Philip Chavez, he is the founder and head of the Men's Academy, an incredible organization doing work to call men into their mission. You are working weekend programs. You have institutes that are being run. You have all kinds of various programs, which we'll dive a little bit into later,
okay,
how
good.
People can
sure.
join an upcoming event. I believe on November 7th, correct?
That's right. Coming up this Thursday at Compton College.
Okay. So if you know anyone in the Southern California area who might be able to make it out to hear Dr. Philip Chavez and others speak, please stay tuned for more information later today in the show. In the meantime, we have a packed show to bring you. And one of the topics I really want to dive into is this issue of sexually transmitted diseases. There's information coming out of the State Department in Hawaii and a linking the increase in sexually transmitted diseases actually to cell phone use and online dating. We'll touch on that more. Also, the Bachelor contestants there in Australia, Bachelor Australia, had a huge story that came out about one of the reasons why the runner-up didn't end up winning had to do with an abortion that she had last year. That and more on Joe Biden and this whole kind of controversy over whether or not he should have received communion. We'll be talking about that a little later on. First, I want to start by talking about this issue. It's quite simple. Should girls have to get dressed around boys or vice versa?
Well, for some, that wouldn't be a complicated issue. The answer ultimately is no. You know, it violates a woman's modesty. Her privacy is also violated. And for most, they'll just find it immediately offensive and something they do not want to be part of.
Well, the reason we bring this up is because the Pennsylvania School District has decided to appoint $2.4 million on gender-neutral locker rooms. Apparently, they're going to be creating single-user facilities, and it's not quite clear enough, but one of my questions is, okay, single-user facility, is this like a co-ed, you know, dorm room, shower type of situation where the single user is a curtain, or are we talking about showers where the door shuts and no one can see in, no one can access it, there's a lock on the door? Because I see this being very unmonitored for teenagers to be exposed to.
Sure, you could see that with teenagers, that'd be a very vulnerable situation. You know, Timmery, that's not uncommon in Europe, actually, mm-hmm. to go into these rooms where you have these stalls where women and men can go in them. So there is somewhat of a, I'm not sure if these people are looking at that paradigm or whatnot, but you could see certainly for high school students, who are by nature kind of imprudent, play around and mess around. That is just a bad idea all around.
I'm surprised. And, you know, a lot of your background is in character development,
sure.
and especially forming the idea not just of chastity and purity in the human person, but the full development as male and as female. That's
right.
why you work particularly in forming men to live in a world today where we see many people aren't getting married, can't have good relationships. You hear this
right.
term, quote unquote, adulting, where you'll hear a 35-year-old now say, oh, I have to adult this weekend. They have to do something responsible, and the rest of their life is just whatever they want.
That's right. Yeah, well, there's a number of things that are causing that problem. You know, I think we're just by the very nature of our education, we somewhat delay the maturation of boys and girls both. You know, where there's not enough expectations during adolescence. You know,
right.
when we say adolescence, in the Latin means becoming an adult. So at between 14 and 18, people should begin engaging in work, not just academia or sports or activities. And so I think, and then people go into college, which for most is in some way, I don't think, very healthy, only for the reason that, you know, we're supposed to be reaching maturity at that age. But yet I think in a lot of college experiences, we actually delay that.
That's Dr. Philip Chavez of the Men's Academy. You're listening to Trending with Timmery. Take us with you on the go. If you want to share this episode or not miss the rest of it, head over to radiotrending.com where you can grab this episode right now and listen to it on the go. One of the other parts of this story, so here we are kind of creating this risky behavior for teenagers who aren't fully developed. They're in that period of adolescence where they're still forming their character, being thrown into bathrooms that, you know, the logistics, the safety is not clear. And then there's another end of the spectrum here where we see this crisis. And one of the stories coming out of Connecticut that we talked about a few months ago, I believe her name's Selena Soli, and she has been competing in track for a number of years. She's quite talented. But this last year, she has been eliminated from participating at the highest level in some of the statewide competitions because two biological boys were allowed to compete with the girls, and the two biological boys beat her.
That's right. And her concern there wasn't so much that there might have been a violation of modesty or some general unfairness. I think her just concern was it from what I understood from the article that I read, that this prohibited her from engaging such that she could be reviewed for scholarships and other accolades. So she wanted to participate basically for some other effects that she could receive, not so much, I guess, in terms of modesty or unfairness as I understood it.
Well, and this is a problem because a lot of girls across the country are facing these challenges. Boys, naturally, because their increased level in testosterone, even the way the body is shaped in certain areas, gives them an unfair advantage when we're allowing literally biological boys to compete in women's sports.
That's right. And so for women, that could be very intimidating. But yeah, the reality is men do have greater power. And women, and when they are confronted with men in certain sports situations and whatnot, they do get hurt.
One of the issues, too, is that it's a decreasing of female motivation in sports, but also it's putting some women in the cases of contact sports in harm because the young boys who are participating might have a larger body, a little more aggression in them. And so it's putting women in physical harm's way. It's just an unfair advantage. And it's a lie at the end of the day. These boys are not girls and they should not be playing as such.
That's right. And for that reason, it's just of itself very unfair, you know. But and again, I think one of the difficulties here, you know, it's just going back to what we believe it has to be the nature of sexuality and that is fixed and that's not something alterable just by mere will alone. And so we're seeing the effects of some of this strange, twisted thinking.
That's Dr. Philip Chavez of the Men's Academy here on Trending with Timory. Dr. Chavez, I want to get your perspective on this. C.S. Lewis says that we should always kind of read literature of a different era. For every, you know, one book we read of modern time, we should read one of a different century from, you know, three or four of a different century.
Sure.
And so I love to do this in reading and see kind of the difference, even in basic literature and the expectation of adolescents, let's say anywhere from 12 to 20-ish, and how their characters should already be developed. They should already be at the point where they're making decisions. In some cases, they have really serious jobs where they're responsible for other people.
That's right.
This was the norm 100 years ago. It's not the norm anymore. We have this perpetual adolescence, 35-year-olds, quote-unquote, avoiding adulting.
That's right.
What do you see the risks are with these two stories that we're discussing?
Well, the difficulty is if there isn't proper character-building opportunities when a child is in or an adolescent is in that stage of adolescence growing into adulthood, that will delay a formative aspect for which it'll be very, very difficult to recover. And so, yes, I mean, and so what we do find is people in their 20s and even their early 30s are moving into a somewhat of a perpetual state of adolescence. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what's gravely harming, you know, married life and dating and all the rest. But we have to remember that, you know, in days past, 100 years ago, women were ready for marriage at age 17 and men were ready for marriage at age 19. And so it was a full preparation and maturation where today we don't even think of that. We just think that, well, now they're just getting ready for college. So remember, the end of all education, as Pius XII teaches, you may read, is to form a girl to be a wife and a mother and a male to be a husband and a father. So the idea of forming for family life is not there. Now we just form for the marketplace.
Now, right away, some people are going to start, red alert. You Catholics saying that you are creating women just to be housewives and mothers, barefoot in the kitchen. And you know what's funny is I don't think anyone's going to be complaining about the idea of forming men to be fathers and husbands.
Exactly, yes.
It's only the female side we get upset about. I think most people aren't going to get angry about the male side. In fact, they're going to say, yeah, we need better men out there. But the reality is we need better women out there too. There's a crisis. I hear from people all the time writing into the show, sharing with me, thank you for talking about these issues because I can't find a date. And the way women think and are acting today is problematic. And it's because we've ignored the biological reality of the human body and the fact that we are created for relationships. And here's
That's the problem.
We're not getting married today, but we're not even capable of having basic familial relationships with our parents.
That's right.
We're not even capable of having friendships today. So clearly we've done something wrong.
That's right. I think just in the family breakdown generally, I think what's happening is families are getting together less. The dinner hour for the family seems to be more and more extinct. And just, you know, instead of, I think television of itself used to hurt the family, but there used to be one television in the living room. Now there's a television in everyone's room. So
right. So
there's more and more
hand.
Yeah, that's right. So there's more and more just dividing the family. And there's too many things coming from all sides. But again, the more and more these things happen, the more and more divides human relationships.
Mm-hmm. And this is where we have to be intentional. As Catholics, we need to make an intentional effort to spend time with each other, to eliminate distractions. You know, maybe it's making sure there's only a television inside the living room. And maybe, you know, I know in our house, we try to really only watch TV on the weekends and together if we do, if we even watch it much over the weekends. You know, there are boundaries. Because we're called to engage in the relationships around us and meet our responsibilities.
That's right. And I think one of those responsibilities as parents is that they must remember they must connect with the hearts and minds of their children, especially at the very early ages. And when that's set, when a parent is attentive to hearing the child, being present to the child, that helps in their development for human relationships.
Timmery will be right back. Send her a tweet at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Timmery, where morality and culture meet, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
Coming up, we'll be talking about Joe Biden, former Vice President Joe Biden, and whether or not he should have been denied receiving communion, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Was that a just denial? I know a lot of people have been weighing in on it. We need to have a conversation. Also, we're going to be coming up talking about abortion in one woman's study. In fact, she was a contestant on The Bachelor Australia. She was the runner-up, and she shares her story of having gone through an abortion. If you don't know a lot about the aftermath of abortion, this is just one woman's story that gives you a glimpse of the pain a woman experiences after having had that abortion. So please don't go away. We'll be coming up with that. Dr. Philip Chavez of the Men's Academy is here with me in studio, and I want to talk about this difficulty that many people are having with dating. You know, I remember Mark Rignaris in his book Cheap Sex, and in some of the interviews we did with him years ago with Dawn, he talked about how people are kind of just like raw pieces of meat rubbing up against each other now. And that's kind of what we've reduced the sexual act to.
Right.
Now we're seeing this sexually transmitted disease epidemic. 5 straight years, not only are they increasing, but it has been huge leaps and bounds from year to year, where we're seeing an increase in things such as chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, all of which have no early signs of symptoms. And so people are going on engaging in this sexual culture without doing anything about it. Dr. Chavez, a study came out from Hawaii's State Department saying we actually kind of attribute some of this to various forms of online dating.
Right. Unfortunately, you know what, from what I've seen even recently and just from looking around after you brought up this topic earlier, I'm not sure if we could call it online dating or online hookups, because I think there are some platforms, from what I understand, I've heard the one Tinder as being one of them, which is the intention is more for a hookup, for a temporary situation. So there's not much at stake for a permanent relationship involved in some of these sites. And I don't want to denigrate, you know, those people who found a spouse successfully, and I know that's happened. I know some cases where that's happened. I probably know more nightmare situations. But the thing is, these online dating, the fact is, it does provide a platform for people to meet each other, which otherwise isn't there in the normal course of a person's life, but the fact of the matter is that that certainly can be abused.
And this is the challenge, I think, for many people today is they want so desperately to meet someone. Yeah. And so they're looking to alternative ways to meet people. Because I know lots of young men and women who are saying, I can't find anyone. There's no one in my day-to-day going-ons that is marryable, right? Eligible
right.
to marry. And I'm not really meeting new people in the various areas I'm trying. So they turn to what I like to refer to as online introductions. I think that we need to destigmatize online dating, call online introductions.
Interesting.
That yeah. being said, some of the attitudes going into online dating is what's problematic, especially with Tinder, Bumble, and some of the others. People are looking for a one-night stand, falling into bed together, and here we are with this major sexually transmitted disease epidemic. One of the major problems, and I think this is a problem of the culture overall, not just of sexually intimate partners, but of friendships, we have a lack of screening, which is ironic because we're on a screen trying to screen out people
sure.
that we're interested in. But there's a lack of one-on-one screen. Is this person safe for me? Is this person going to make responsible decisions? Is this person, because the reality is when you engage in a sexual intimacy, you are consenting to the possibility of having a child. Is that
sure.
someone who's going to stick around?
Sure. Well, in the case of online screening or what people do learn about each other, I guess at the outset, we have to say, well, those are just words on a paper. It's not like you've been introduced to somebody who you can trust that says, well, I know this person. They can be trusted here. Or they're good or they're religious or whatnot. So these are just words. And I guess for the most part, you know, some online dating, at least in an incipient way, is somewhat of finding somebody out of a catalog. So it's a matter of comparing one face to another. So I think what's happened is I think the reality of part of it is there is a certain element of superficiality in the whole online dating movement or rather these platforms. And so if that's going to be the case, if it's going to be in some way have a certain superficial somewhat of a platform, then the results are going to follow suit. They're going to also in some way or can lead themselves to be leading to superficial relationships.
And the desire for beauty, the desire for aesthetics is a good thing. It's built
sure.
in our heart. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of our nature. You know, we are huge advocates within the church of truth, beauty, and goodness.
Right.
But maybe people are eliminating everything to the beauty side and they're missing the truth of that person. Is that person a truthful person? Do they live by truthful ideologies? And are they good? Is goodness within how they interact? Because I think a truly, you know, beautiful individual, it radiates the soul, not just the way they look.
That's right. And for what you're saying there, those are things you can only see when you're in the presence of a person, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if I had a snapshot of you, you'd be so very different from you're just being present in front of me. Because when you see the fullness of the person, you can see more of their virtue. There's something about looking into somebody's eyes, seeing their whole comportment, their whole bearing, by which you can actually see and project virtue and appreciate them more as a person. So I can think of if there's just a photograph, then that becomes just a person who is to be desired or not.
Well, and even just thinking about the side of we generally forget that it's only about 20% of our speech that makes up really our language.
That's
our
right.
body language is more so about 80% of what we do.
Exactly.
So when you're just getting a text, and think about the times when you've gotten some sort of text, you thought it was really heated. You might have started to have a response. And you're thinking, okay, is this going to be taken the right way?
Sure.
And you know, the interpretation is lost in the words often if we don't have that person-to-person contact.
That's right.
That's Dr. Philip Chavez of the Men's Academy. You are listening to Trending with Tim Ray. Dr. Chavez, you have an event coming up on November 7th at Compton College. For anyone who wants to attend, can you share a little bit more information?
Yes, generally, this event actually is designed to talk about masculinity and manhood at Compton College. And it was set up in light of the fact that what we're seeing now in college, one of the problems we're seeing, which is leading to a lot of immaturity, is men, especially the African-American community and Latinos, they aren't graduating, and so or they're graduating at a much lesser rate. And so Compton College has introduced this program for which I'm the only one yet who's come up with a solution for them. And so what they want to do is to find ways of encouraging men to be more engaged in their studies and with the ultimate end of graduating. So basically, I've set up this conference with a couple other speakers to emphasize the idea that maybe if men worked more in fraternity and helped and mentored each other and spent more time together to be mutually encouraging, that that would help them in all of their goals. So that'll be the emphasis. But that'll be this Thursday, November 7th at Compton College from 6:30 to 8:30 for just 2 hours at what they call the Little Theater, and all are invited.
Everyone listening live on social media, please check out this event. If you know anyone in the area, this is being put on by some of the key workers with the Men's Academy, including Dr. Philip Chavez. So it'll be a great event. And, you know, we're at a point in time where many men are looking for guidance and leadership. They're turning to people, names you may have heard, such as Jocko Willink, Jordan Peterson, among others, and maybe even political commentators, because, you know, they see some form of strength or, you know, a virile element in them that they want. So these are great events that really help to give men a model, an idea, and a path forward in their masculinity.
That's right. And a big part of that, from which you may have alluded already, is just to help build up their courage. Mm-hmm. And I just find that men are just, they're too filled with fears about many things. It's one of the reasons they're not getting in relationships, because they're afraid of certain things about women or what that may lead to or whatnot. Or one of the reasons they're declining their careers, because they're afraid. They've lacked a lot of courage. And so, again, what we hope to promote is somewhat of something that may be encouraging through male-to-male relationships, male-to-male mentoring.
Be sure to follow me on Instagram. That's Timmery, at Timmery, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. I post updates throughout the week, talk about some current issues, one of which has to do with this STD epidemic and how we've seen the killing of 1,306 babies born with syphilis because they're receiving it going through the birth canal. I talk about it on a recent video I did. You can find me on YouTube as well, Trending with Timmery. One perspective I want to throw in here, because at times ties into this STD epidemic, the online dating issue, and even what you're saying is your solution that you're pointing to for these young men who are having difficulty graduating college is a deeper connection of friendship.
That's right.
And as I'm looking at this lack of screening people before, you know, falling into bed with them and the spreading of sexually transmitted diseases, and I'm just imagining these girls who find out that their children, their newborn babies have syphilis. Just last year, 78 babies were stillborn because of the syphilis, and 16 died not long after birth. These girls have no idea that the decision they made about their sexual intimacy would have this wide of an impact. And really, it's a problem of friendship. Are we trying our friendships before we get to know people? Are we testing the friendship? Are we, you know, really looking, is this person reliable? Does this person have similar goals? I think we just kind of hang out with people and have fun and don't think about it.
That's right. And maybe sexuality then is used as just a way of relating because they don't know how to relate in any other way. Mm. You know, one of the difficulties about online dating versus maybe meeting somebody a certain forum, when couples usually meet, they oftentimes meet at a place that provides a forum for which they can already talk about. I don't know, they meet through church or some of their civil functions, school. So there's always something there that they have in common, that there's something to share and to talk about. And so the difficulty is, yes, one of the things that makes a woman attracted to a man is when there's interesting things to engage with her about, interesting subjects, because it's about keeping company. And it's about keeping an interest in a relationship, which finds its fruit and, or rather, finds its dynamic in dialogue. And so, yes, men and women both, they need fruitful things to speak about and fruitful things for which they have interest in.
One of the things that I love to look at scripturally is throughout Proverbs, there are all kinds of comments having to do with friendship. There are all kinds of quotes from scripture talking about trying a friendship, what a good friend is, the fidelity of a good friend. I remember even at one point, Proverbs talks about how, you know, with enemies, the wounds of an enemy against you are like kisses, but the wounds of a friend are ongoing and always present. There are wounds that we'll experience from our friendships, but they're not ones that are destructive. They're not ones that destroy who we are.
You can listen to more of Trending via the podcast on iTunes or the iHeartRadio app, where you can share your favorite episodes. You're listening to Trending with Timmery.
great to be with all of you. Dr. Philip Chavez is in studio with me. He is the head of the Men's Academy. If you want to learn more about him and his work and also upcoming events, you can follow them on Facebook at the Men's Academy. We'll also have them tagged as well on our Facebook page if you want to check them out. Dr. Philip Chavez has graciously agreed to talk about some of these issues that are very modernly impacting the culture, yet his expertise is in character formation. And so I love to throw these stories at you because I'm throwing kind of very trendy things that are
it's
in the news.
Always fun.
But
keep them coming.
your take is very much so appreciated. There was a story that came out about Abby Chatfield. She was the runner-up for The Bachelor Australia. Apparently, she didn't end up winning. It's very tragic. But what ended up coming out in a number of interviews that she's done since then is that she had an abortion in March 2018, not long before being on the show. And even when producers would bring up the topic of children and babies, she would become very emotional. She'd begin to cry. In fact, they brought back in former wives of The Bachelor that had won in the past. I'm like stuttering over my words here. And
Who were pregnant,
yeah. And those women who were pregnant, when Abby would see them, she would break down and cry. She would be in so much pain. This is just a glimpse into the post-abortion syndrome that is sweeping this nation. One in four women by the age of 40 will have had an abortion, is what statistics are showing.
Yeah, and you could see how intimate, I mean, based upon Abby's reactions in these episodes which you speak of, you could see how intimate it is, how the bearing of life is so intimate and personal to a woman. And you can see how it affects her so intimately when she's talking about relationships and seeing other women who themselves are pregnant. So there is a reminder there that one can have an abortion, but they're always a mother. And I think that motherhood, that doesn't go away.
And it's sad because you look at her story, Dr. Chavez, and Abby says that basically she ended up being abandoned by the father of her child not long after the abortion. It took off. He said she was no longer fun anymore. And she says in the article that I was reading that it was just weeks after having the abortion. It's sad because having worked in the crisis pregnancy center, we had this saying that if a woman ended up having the abortion because of the boyfriend or any influence from him, the relationship pretty much always ended within about 3 weeks, 17 days, 3 weeks. I mean, on the dot, it would happen every time. And this is just another example. Woman who had the abortion and just a few weeks later, the man leaves her and she's left with that heartbreak.
That's right. Because I think what happens there is a woman's so devastated and she's going to go through so many emotional cycles and difficult interior difficulties that a man can't handle that and doesn't want to be around that. It's too much to carry, too much to handle, too much to bear. And so he himself, I think he finds himself in confusion too. They doesn't know how to negotiate the fact that his own baby was aborted. And so the best way to really heal himself and to find a better path is to be rid of a woman who is full of this emotional turmoil and not to be reminded that his child was killed.
The tendency for men to run when they don't know how to confront something. And I'm not sure if it was Abby's story or another one. It talked about how the man, the father of the child, the night that she had the abortion left. And again, I'm not sure if it's Abby's story or another one I was reading this week, but just that inability emotionally to cope with the reality of what has just happened. Men deep down inside know what abortion is, no matter how hard they try to deny it.
That's right. And again, I think one of the difficulties here is they don't know how to handle it. They don't know what the path is moving forward. They don't know really where to get help, or they don't believe that deep down help is really available, and they wouldn't know where to turn. And so for lack of a path forward, I think they take the escape route and escape out a window.
And this is very common for women who have experienced abortions, the depression, feeling abandoned, and in fact being abandoned by the man. It was sad because Abby was pressured to share her story. She tried to whisper that she had had an abortion to Matt, who was the bachelor, and the producers had kind of become aware of it, and so they kept saying, Abby, speak louder, and she didn't want to share this on national television. It's something she didn't want to come out, and it ends up being they pressure her so hard she ends up looking at the camera, and I don't know if they end up showing it on the actual show or not, but she says, I had a bleeping abortion, okay? And she's just so angry. They pushed her so hard they used her in sure. that moment to expose something so private and so horrific yeah. on camera.
Well, I think generally, I think that's somewhat of the aim and objective is to try to, whatever they could do to induce emotion and drama out of these situations. I think that's what these producers try to do. But it is unfortunate they had to do it that way. And because I think they were driving her to that end. And in some way, that is an act of abuse toward her. Absolutely.
You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray. That is Dr. Philip Chavez of the Men's Academy. You can follow them on Facebook or visit them at themensacademy.org. Dr. Chavez, another perspective I'd like to dive into here is, why do you see it that men are so willing to go through with the abortion? I know we talk about it all the time. It's an easy out. It decreases their responsibility. That responsibility sure. decreased with contraception. But what led men to get to this point where they're just willing to walk away from the girl, willing to engage in sexual intimacy, no thought for the consequences?
Well, I think it could be the case that if abortion did take effect, it could be the case that there was not really a deep relationship there to begin with. And so there wasn't much to hang on to when the baby came. You know, really, children are, they're a sign that a couple is, let's just say, at least dedicated to each other, at least committed. We want them, of course, as faithful Catholics, to be in a covenant relationship. But I think what happens, and there's lack of commitment at the very outset because the relationship before they got to that stage of pregnancy didn't really develop. And so you have the fruit of what should be a solid foundational relationship is just not there. And so I think what happens is when the abortion happens and there's no real foundation, there was no roots that set, that relationship will separate.
It's sad because when we look at these stories, no one's talking about the post-abortion side of having had an abortion. You know, we sure. see women who are, you know, these themes of shouting your abortion. Some movie stars have gotten involved in it. A lot of movie stars have gotten to the point of advocating against some of the pro-life laws that have been passed in various states, such as Georgia and Alabama. And sure. they want abortion through all 9 months of a woman's pregnancy. And we know the aftermath not only leads to the depression, the difficulty in seeing pregnant women, the difficulty talking about having families. But Abby Chatfield, it's come out, people are saying part of the reason why she didn't end up winning The Bachelor Australia is because she didn't know if she was ready for marriage after that abortion. She didn't sure. know if she was ready That's for right. that commitment. She didn't know if she was ready for children. And some women who go through an abortion end up avoiding having children altogether, avoid interacting with children. And substance abuse significantly increases along with attempted suicide and That's right. completed suicide.
That's right. And I think, Timory, and you might corroborate this in your own experience, women will never find their way forward with other relationships or even with God unless they've learned to face the wrong that they've done and learn to actually face that pain. Mm-hmm. And I think what's happening is that one of the reasons why maybe relationships are cut off or why the whole issue of abortion is shut down, it's too painful to face. I don't think people just want to go there. But again, too, I think the fact that somebody's done something so wrong and so deeply wrong, the wound is so incisive, so deep and so profound. The pain being too much to face, the offense against God, offense against nature is also so grave. I think that just shuts people down. And so they follow and pursue destructive lifestyles, addictions and whatnot.
We're seeing some statistics for the average age surrounding marriage. I know in mm-hmm. some countries in Europe, they say that the average age for marrying is kind of entering into like that 40-year mark. Yeah. Same thing with having children, which, I mean, that becomes more difficult to even conceive children.
Sure.
Here in the United States, we are following in that path. Fewer people are getting married. I was astonished the other day. I was speaking to one of the workers at a local church to where I live, and he was saying that they've only had 2 weddings in that church this year. In this huge Gosh. Community. And it's fascinating because I remember when I was getting married, some of the churches I was contacting to kind of put the various pieces together didn't know what to do when someone was contacting them because they wanted to get married.
Interesting.
And I look at this in relation to the abortion issue. We are creating a lot of women who, if they feel like they have to have that abortion or maybe have had to choose the mindset of a contraceptive mindset,
sure.
are not ready when the time comes to get married. And so I really want to propose the healing path moving forward, whether you have experienced an abortion or you know someone who has, go and visit rachelsvineyard.org. Rachelsvineyard.org. They are an incredible apostolate that has been working for years with women to heal after the pain and sorrow of having gone through an abortion.
That's right. And these programs are so important, but what's in the periphery of virtually every woman is that they may know somebody who's already gone through that process. And I think it's vital that women share their own journey with another woman who's gone through the same. And without that, they won't learn what it is to move through some pain and won't see promise for a brighter future.
And maybe you're someone who has began to go through that healing process and you would like to help others more. There are organizations such as Silent No More, where they actually travel around sharing their abortion testimony to help others understand the difficult decision that they made, where they were coming from. Often these women, I hear it from their mouths over and over again, I felt like I had no other choice.
That's right. Yeah. And again, if they don't feel that support, they will do that, or at least many will find themselves in that situation. Because the fact of the matter is, when a woman is pregnant, she's in a highly vulnerable situation. And above all, she needs the support of that man in her life. And without that, and without even support of her own family, her parents, her brothers and sisters, which is all a natural form when a woman is pregnant, without that complete familiar support and support of relatives, it's very, very difficult, I think, for a woman to move forward, especially as she's feeling isolated, alone, and again, without believing she has no other path.
That's Dr. Philip Chavez of the Men's Academy. You can follow them on Facebook or visit them at themensacademy.org. Again, that's themensacademy.org.
Timmery will be right back. Send her a tweet at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Timmery, where morality and culture meet, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
Talk about controversy. We're back and we're going to be speaking in a moment about Joe Biden, who was denied communion at a church in South Carolina. A lot of people are weighing in, sharing their opinions. Let's dive into what the church has to say about it. Before that, a message about our sponsors, Solidarity Healthshare. Solidarity Healthshare is simple: to help pay for affordable, quality health care. They enable the community to share in each other's eligible medical expenses. You choose the doctor that you want to see. Even integrative and alternative medical treatments are eligible. Solidarity Healthshare helps pay for NAPRO technology and costs associated with natural family planning. Solidarity Healthshare is dedicated to both faith and your health care. Information is available at solidarityhealthshare.org. That's solidarityhealthshare.org. Dr. Philip Chavez of the Men's Academy is here with me in studio. Dr. Chavez, let's talk about this controversy, which I'll go right off the bat and say I'm fully in support of. In South Carolina, Father Morey denied Eucharistic communion, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, to former Vice President Joe Biden. What are your initial thoughts?
Well, he did the right thing. And I'm thinking, well, does Joe Biden go to Mass every Sunday and have priests been distributing communion to him every Sunday wherever he goes? I would hate to think that that's the case. So, but in any case, to my own mind, there is no controversy here. It's very, very clear from canon law and just from what the priests taught generally that no one is to willingly or knowingly receive communion unworthily. And a priest is to stop that.
Father Morey, I thank you for not just speaking up, but showing that you live your faith and your love of the Eucharist to the nation, because so many people for so many years have been horrified by Catholic politicians who not only support abortion in their work, but even want taxpayers against their own consciences to pay for abortion. And, you know, paraphrasing Father Morey, who denied Joe Biden communion, he talks about how Holy Communion signifies essentially that we are one with each other and that we're one with the church. And he emphasizes
That's right.
how his public advocating for abortion takes him outside of the church. And I would argue argue, he takes himself outside and away from us as human beings because he is allowing women to go through the pain of that abortion, and he's allowing for that baby to be killed. And he's contributing to this culture because of that, of STDs, babies who now have STDs and are dying after birth.
I mean,
he is contributing to this whole rampant sexuality that's decreasing marriage and so many other issues.
Well, he's encouraging homicide is what he's doing. He's propagating murder. And yes, in that case, nobody should ever receive communion who's in the habit of any kind of movement or positions where they're effectively propagating murder of the people. So it's the act of Holy Communion. Yes, there's many elements we could talk about it, but yes, the communion itself means that when we receive, we're in communion with God, we're in communion with the church, we're in communion some way, you could say, as you said, with one another. And so the expression, the reception of that should be that one is in communion with all three. And as you rightly said, yes, because there's a propagation of abortion there and all the rest, that communion with others is also severed, aside from the communion with God and the church.
That's Dr. Philip Chavez of the Men's Academy. You're listening to Trending with Tim Murray. We as Catholics believe and stand by the fact that the Eucharist is the source and summit of our entire Christian life. That means the Eucharist is the goal.
That's right.
It's us achieving that top. And that means that we're orienting ourselves toward that union with God. That means that we're working to orient ourselves to giving ourselves to God, but also being prepared to receive God.
Yes.
And again, I make that clear that if we really do understand that the church refers to the Eucharist as the source and summit of our Catholic faith, that means that it's the goal. That doesn't mean that we just get to go to communion and receive it whenever we want.
That's right. And it doesn't mean, which I thought this is the direction you're going, is it doesn't mean that I should approach communion just because there may be some grace in it for me, something that I can receive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know Bishop Dolan was talking about, Cardinal Dolan was speaking about communion itself is in some way an expression of an act of mercy upon the soul. Well, the problem is, in some way, that can be said, yes, in proper circumstances, but actually, In this case, when somebody is violating consciously church law and love of human nature, that's actually an act of condemnation according against oneself, in which Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 11.
We're condemning ourselves to receive the Eucharist unworthily.
Right.
Like, it does more harm than good.
That's right. And it doesn't just do the individual harm. Remember that of any person in the body of Christ who commits a mortal grievous sin, that infects the entire body.
Mm-hmm.
So we all pay for that. And so by restricting him from coming to communion, that keeps him from infecting the body. But remember, too, because he is advocating grave moral evil, in this case abortion, he is already laetae sententiae, excommunicated from the church. He is not able to participate at all in the sacraments, which, again, that's an act of mercy toward the faithful for which they aren't affected through that sin of him actually participating.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier that by his participation in the Eucharist, he's affecting the whole body of Christ. Well,
That's
how
right.
has the whole body of Christ been harmed? Every time you or I receive communion unworthily,
That's right.
we're causing scandal. And what have we gotten to? Where most Catholics don't even believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. This is where we've gotten. Again, the Eucharist is a source and summit of our Catholic faith. It's a goal, and you shouldn't just get to try it out or receive
right.
communion for participation points. I don't care if you got an award for always participating in baseball, golf, whatever sport you played in. It's not a participation point.
That's right. This is something that should be taken very, very seriously. And as a source and summit, it's what's primal in nourishing our souls, at least with sanctifying grace. And so for that reason, it ought to be protected in every manner. And so what happens, too, is there's also incumbent upon us responsibility, just as faithful, that we as faithful, we do not cause scandal about those around us, that we do approach everything in a solemn way. And a priest, too, has also, it's incumbent upon him that he provide a solemn, reverent atmosphere, which lends itself to the fact that, yes, this is the body and blood of Christ. But in some way, if we dress for an occasion or in some way there's preparation for this occasion, which doesn't lend itself to the belief that it truly is the body and blood of Christ, soul and divinity, as opposed to just a cracker, I think we do scandalize others in that way, too. So we have to be careful, too, about our own comportment, our own behavior in church.
That's Dr. Philip Chavez of the Men's Academy here on Trending with Timmery. You mentioned earlier, Dr. Chavez, Cardinal Dolan, because Cardinal Dolan ended up weighing in on this doing an interview. And I have to say, with all due respect, Cardinal Dolan, I'm so disappointed. The good side of what Cardinal Dolan said is that he recognized that what Father Morey was doing in denying Joe Biden communion was right. He was what the church teaches. But he said he himself would, quote, never deny someone, personally would never deny someone communion. And in fact, here's the thing that just, made me so angry. He said, I personally have never even had the opportunity where I would have to deny someone Holy Communion.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I don't know if any of you have ever seen any of these major award shows or anything, major events where Cardinal Dolan sitting right next to some very high power, high level politicians, movie stars who are Catholic, who are not following the church's teaching. And I can't imagine he's not at some point celebrated Mass with them in his presence.
That's right. You know, I've met Cardinal Dolan a couple times and spoke with him. And generally, I've come to like him for some of the things he's accomplished and done. And so he's an affable man, and I've come to enjoy him on many levels. But I too, was very, very disappointed. You know, one of the things as a follow-up to what he said, that this never really happened, he said, you know, really, I don't want to judge anyone who comes forward. Now, the difficulty is make a judgment, you know, and we must remember in that judgment, yes, he's standing in the presence of Christ, who is the supreme high judge. And so he must make a judgment call. He has to do this confession, everything that he does, he has to make a judgment. But let me add too, remember, he's judging not so much as he's passing sentence over. He's just using, you know, what he may know in moral certitude or whatnot that, hey, this man is in a state of moral sin. I shouldn't be distributing communion. But we must remember, God has made the judgment. All we do is comply with the judgment that God has made in the church. That's all we're doing. So was a judgment made? Absolutely. But it was made by God and the church herself, who teaches us that in these circumstances, communion should be withheld.
You are spot on. And no one's saying that that is the responsibility of the priest. What is one of the main responsibilities that Jesus Christ gives to the apostles? The priesthood. He gives to the priesthood to bind and loose sins, to
That's
be
right.
the judge for Christ here on earth. And like you emphasize, I just want to re-say what you said. God has already judged.
That's right.
We're just called to live according to what the church is teaching and submit ourselves willingly to this. And I have to say, and people are going to complain if I don't cover this part of it, the problem is that even Joe Biden himself has then come out saying, well, every time I see Pope Francis, Pope Francis gives me communion. And you know, maybe Pope Francis is coming from a similar perspective of Cardinal Dolan. You know, I'm shocked, though, that Joe Biden is able to say that this has never come up until recently in his life. That's a lie.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, when it comes to the Holy Father and whatnot, and where there may be a disconnect there, I know Holy Father, I don't think he distributes communion at any of his masses. And I don't think that's been the case for quite some time, even back to the pontificate of Benedict. But
They do not in the public masses.
Not in the public mass, okay. But I think they may do in the private masses,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
But in any case, yes, just other than to say that they are an authority, and that authority needs to be exercised bravely.
I know we have a lot of priests and seminarians who also listen to Trending here, and I just want to ask you, I would hope that you would listen to what I'm saying and keep me accountable. And if I was not in a state of grace, if I was not in accord with the church, that you wouldn't give me communion. You know, I'd
That's
hope
right.
that this is what you would do for all of us, because this is what we're looking for from the leadership, from all of you. You've been listening to Trending. That's Dr. Philip Chavez with the Men's Academy. You can learn more about him and his work at themensacademy.org.
This has been Trending with Timmery. To book her to speak or learn more about her guest, visit radiotrending.com. That's radiotrending.com. You can listen to more of Trending via the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or the iHeartRadio app, where you can share your favorite episodes.